Are you on a train? You sound like you're on a train.
I live beside train tracks.
That makes a lot of sense. For a second, I wondered, like, why is there a... No, that doesn't make sense.
Yeah, no, I live beside train tracks. It's perfect for podcasting. yeah. Yeah, every so often that happens.
Like, whenever I'm on a train, I'm like... And we drive past houses, I'm like, that must be... No, I could never... Could not do that. Is it as bad as I think it is, or do you sort of just get used to it?
You get used to it pretty quick, and the, like... Windows are great now. Like the soundproof windows make a huge difference. Because I'm beside a highway and train tracks, and it's
you just got it all.
Yeah, but it's not that bad. Like it. Sometimes I have the windows open, and then that gets bad when I'm watching TV sometimes. But like only for a second, and then it's gone.
I guess yeah, that makes sense. Speaking of TV, let's do a fantastic radio segue.
Yes,
I watched a whole bunch of Terrace House this week.
That's
a weird show.
It is a weird show, but like I really like what kind of weird it is, I guess.
Yeah, like it's really hard to sell to people. Like I was watching it in my room because it's a weird sort of voyeuristic type show. Mm-hmm. And my partner walks in, he's like, "What is this weird Japanese crap you've got on?" And I tell him I'm just sort of watching people live together, and he gives me this look. You must have seen this look if you've tried to describe Terrace House to anybody. I did enjoy watching it, though, I will say. It's a nice contrast to every other reality show in existence.
Yeah, I find it hard to sell, too, because I'm like, it's this great show where nothing happens. And people are like, oh, okay. And then I describe it, and they're like, oh, so Big Brother. And I'm like, yeah, but no, it's not like Big Brother, though.
It's a very gentle Big Brother where they still have to like go to work and stuff. And there's a weird sort of cabin in the woods type organization that watches them and makes fun of them.
Yeah. But also they can leave whenever they want.
Yeah. I haven't got to any of that yet.
Okay.
I'm growing quite attached to the characters, and I don't want any of them. Well, so I say characters, they're people, and I don't want any of them to leave.
Yeah, I always feel so weird calling people on that show like my favorite character. And I'll do it and then I'll think about it, and I hate that I said it, but like, I don't know what else to call them, really. My favorite person.
Like, cast member?
Yeah.
Cast member.
That is the right thing.
But like, in any other reality show, there'd be characters because they'd play exaggerated versions of themselves, but in Terrace House they truly are just being them.
Exactly. Yeah.
It's novel and I quite like it. It's the most gentle reality show I've ever watched.
Yeah. I watched Frank last night.
Oh yeah?
Yeah.
What did you think?
That's also a weird thing, huh?
Yeah, that's a really weird film.
I really enjoyed it. It was very weird. It was weirder than I expected it to be.
I sort of underplayed the weirdness on purpose, but yeah, it's such a good movie.
I think that was good. I was pleasantly surprised by the weirdness. and it was weird that like just Maggie Gyllenhaal was in it.
Oh yeah. And like Frank has been Michael Fassbender this whole time.
Yeah.
That hit me when the mask came off.
Yeah.
Spoilers for anyone who hasn't watched it. I mean, it's not really a spoiler, but... The poster underplays the weirdness as well. I wasn't expecting it to go the places that it did when I watched it.
Mm-hmm. Well, I almost didn't find it because on Netflix, I saw the poster on IMDb and then Netflix doesn't have any sort of picture of the head.
What?
When you look it up on PlayStation, it doesn't. It was just the guy, John, like him shaving, like doing that shaving scene. That's the picture on Netflix.
Of all the pictures you'd use to sell the movie, you go for John Shaver.
Yeah.
Bad move, Netflix.
Yeah.
The one in the Netflix that I used definitely has a picture of the head.
Yeah. I almost didn't. I almost like last night went, oh no, I don't think it's here. I thought it was, but then I clicked around. I was like, no, this is the right Frank. And I also didn't know that I thought the protagonist was Frank. So when it was just like this other dude on the thing, I was like, oh, that's not it. But it was.
Well, if the protagonist, because Frank's arguably the main character, which is why it's named after him. But if Frank was the protagonist, we'd be seeing it all through his eyes. And that would be a very different movie.
Yeah.
It would be a far weirder movie.
Certainly. Yeah. I kind of want to see that movie, too.
I do. Yeah, me too. Now that I've just said it out loud.
Yeah.
I don't know, maybe they did some weird market research and Canadian Aussies just don't enjoy pictures of giant heads.
I feel like they try to make everything look like a very palatable comedy on Netflix, even when that's not the case.
I feel that. Mm-hmm. Although sometimes they do the opposite. Have you heard of a show called Psychoville?
No, I haven't.
Psychoville is written by Mark Gatiss, whom you may know from Sherlock. And it's a really bizarre comedy, like proper surreal dark comedy, and the poster and the advertising on Netflix makes it look like a gritty crime drama, which it very much is not. I knew this going in, but my partner did not, and he's a big fan of gritty crime dramas, not a big fan of dark surreal comedy.
Oh, that's unfortunate. Yeah, I like when things turn out weirder than they are, but that's not a good bet to take for everybody.
No, I mean, he said he'd probably enjoy it if he went in knowing what it was, but because he was expecting this like crime thing. But yeah, I'm definitely going to watch more of Terrorist House. I'm definitely going to finish the series.
I'm interested what you think when people start leaving.
I'll definitely do a follow-up when people start leaving. The problem is I can't passively watch it.
Yeah, no, that's a big problem. I watch it a lot on planes.
That makes a lot of sense, but I don't take a lot of planes.
I was just saying I watch it on planes because I can turn up, or I don't have to turn up the volume really loud to get over the plane noise, because I have to watch subtitles anyway.
I mean, that sounds wonderful, but I don't go on a lot of planes. You don't fly a lot of places within England. I could probably watch it on trains, which would make a lot of sense, but I multitask a lot when watching TV, and it's very hard for me to just sit and watch a show.
It took me a long time to finish, the first season of Terrace House that I watched, I binged. It's the one that you're watching. And then the second one, I take a little bit longer to watch it because I wasn't traveling as much and just didn't want to just sit down and watch this. Even though I enjoy it when I do, I don't know. I always cross stitch or something when I'm watching TV.
Yeah, I'm always like writing something or fiddling with my ukulele or something. I'm still going to try and finish it. I'm definitely going to update you when people start leaving. While we're on the subject of reviewing things, I feel like enough time has passed since the finale of The Adventure Zone has come out. Can we discuss that yet?
Oh, yes. I think that's fine.
If like big old spoiler warning going in, if you haven't sat down and listened to all of that, do that now. Like pause, listen to all 60 hours, then come back. We'll still be here.
I actually, like, right before starting this call and finished, I just listened to the Adventure Zone Zone episode that came out yesterday.
Yes, I listened to that this morning. When Merle mentioned that he could see the mum in this, that was so sweet.
I was walking down the street and, like, teared up, and I was like, nope, you can't. Like, I went to the vet this morning, and I was on my way there being like, don't cry.
When the finale came out, I knew that I was going to cry at some point, so I just locked myself in my bedroom. I said, don't disturb me for 2.5 hours. Locked myself in my room, and then spent the entire latter half in like, a ball of tears and mess.
Yeah, I did the same thing. Just being like, no, that is what this afternoon is for. I'm going to listen to The Adventure Zone and I don't know how long it's going to take. Let's do this.
It's going to be a mental adventure.
Yes.
So what did you think to it? Like, in its, now that we have it all in its entirety.
I absolutely loved it. I have a problem with The Adventure Zone and it's got nothing to do with the actual content. And it's just that I didn't realize how important it was going to get in the middle, and so I didn't pay that much attention. So I've got some gaps in the story for me, because I didn't like the Crystal Kingdom arc.
Oh, you didn't? That was one of my favorites.
No, I thought it was great. I just didn't like, I wasn't interested in it, and I don't know why. But because of that, I'm missing a lot of pieces, because I didn't like give it all of my attention when I was listening to that.
See, I skipped. I have never listened to Murder on the Rockport Limited. Because when
it's good.
Because when I started listening, I listened to Character Gen to see if I'd enjoy it. Then listened to the first chapter, sort of a beta test. Then just skipped to the beginning of the newest chapter, which was Petals. So I just completely skipped over Murder on the Rockport Limited. So like Angus showed up, and I'm like, who is this small child that everybody knows? And I probably should go back and listen to it at some point. But I don't feel like there's any sort of big critical plot elements that I've missed in that.
It's mostly fun. They're still being really goofy at that point.
That was before they realized exactly what they were making.
Yeah, I want to go back and listen to the whole thing. I re-listened to the Here There Be Gerblins arc when I was running that starter campaign. Oh, yeah. So I've listened to that again recently, but I want to go listen to the whole thing. I know it's going to take forever.
I'm GMing a group doing it, and they powered through Crystal Kingdom in one session. It was the 1 6-hour session, and then they just did the entire thing. But they, you know, the three robots just before Legion, they skipped that minibus entirely because there's the two sort of garage doors, and one where Lucas is and one that they have to go through, and they fight the three minibuses. But our mage rolled persuasion with his plastic sheriff's badge, pretended to be the police, so Lucas would have to open the door. And like, I was like, if he has to get a nat 20 to hit this, and he did.
Perfect.
so he went, it's the police, open up. You heard the garage door open up. Then Lucas just goes, of course it wasn't the police. Why would it have been the police? But you gotta let it happen because it was a natural 20. All in all, it was like phenomenal finale. I was worried when the finale arc started because it could have gone very badly. Not that I didn't have faith in Griffin and the players. I'm just like, I've seen big grand stories like this go completely the wrong way towards ending it. See Homestuck, which they did draw parallels to in the Adventure Zone. But no, they totally pulled it off. They did everything right. Well, they did. No, I'd say they did everything right. I can't, like, no big glaring flaws jump out to me.
Yeah, and even, like, what I don't like about the Crystal Kingdom, like, it's no big flaw. It was just not my bag. Like, it's not even, it's not that it's bad at all.
So what is it about it that you don't like?
I couldn't tell you. I got too bored to listen. Like, there is nothing I specifically did not like about it. I thought it was a great use of music, and it was the first time the music was really happening like that, and I was impressed by that. And then I just like zoned out every single time I listened to a Crystal Kingdom episode, and I wasn't trying to do that, and I wasn't multitasking. I was just not, I couldn't pay attention.
See, I sort of started to do that at some points during the Suffering Game because of how sort of repetitive it was. But I think part of that was the point. It was supposed to be just grinding them down, both the listeners and the players, which is a very brave thing to do, both as a GM and as a content creator.
Mm-hmm. I did that at the beginning of Suffering Game, but the ending was so worth it and paid off, like, so well, I thought.
Payoff's totally worth it.
Got you back. Stolen Centuries, not Stolen Century. The 11th Hour is my favorite arc.
Oh, the 11th Hour is so good. I can't wait to run that session. That's going to be so difficult to run. Like, there's a guy on the Adventure Zone subreddit that has made campaign notes, and the campaign notes for 11th Hour is four separate documents that you have to have open at the same time. One with the timeline, like a timeline in every single location. So it's 11:05. They're at this place. What's happening? It's just, that's going to be so difficult. So worth it though.
Yeah, that's cool. I like, ever since I listened to that one, I want to do something like that. But like, I'm not even a good, like, regular DM, so I've got a ways to go before I could do that. But
I'm not a fantastic DM, but I'm the only DM my group knows, so they don't know how bad I am.
Right. And when I was DMing, it was the same thing. Yeah, I was teaching people how to play the game while I was learning how to DM.
Yeah, the secret is not to let them know how bad you are. I've already got ideas for my next campaign. I also want to run a superhero game, not because that's where the Adventure Zone is going, but just because of how I love superheroes. And my partner had this idea for a kind of like a bard superhero called the Guitar Hero.
Oh, very nice.
And he carries around a plastic Guitar Hero guitar, and that is how, like, he channels his superpowers through it.
Amazing. Yeah, that sounds like a lot of fun.
like this started out as he was a bard in D&D that would play cover songs to do magic, but then it just morphed into whacking plastic keys to shoot lightning bolts, and that's going to be so much fun.
I usually play a bard. I'm in the one right now. I just joined a new campaign, and it's people who've been playing since February, so I jumped in because some people left, and they already had a bard and a cleric, and I always play bard. So I was like, well, I guess I got to figure something else out. But my old character was a bard, a tiefling bard, and he was like an angsty teenager, and that was where like all of his music inspiration came from, and his name was Sai, and that was fun to play.
That's cool.
Yeah. But I'm playing a monk now.
I usually play tiefling rogue, go for the sort of quite literally devilish trickster,
mm-hmm.
Because people like magic, and when I can do magic in real life and make things disappear and move and stuff, it's a lot more it's a lot easier to convince the DM that my character can do something if I can actually do it.
Right.
So I get away with a lot more by just basically cheating in real life.
Yeah. Of course you can do it. See? Yeah. It's hard to disprove that. Yeah.
Exactly. That's going to backfire one day. When my character asks to steal another character's wallet, and the GM goes, "No, you can't do that in that situation," and I hand him his wallet, that will backfire at some point.
Yeah. I have. When I was in high school, I had a friend who was a magician, and he used to steal our watches without us noticing, and just like give us our watches back throughout the day.
I love that. That is so much fun. I wasn't able to do that for the longest time because people stopped wearing watches. But now the Apple Watch is so easy to steal. Like, how is that not a problem? Because like, there's no strap. There's no like traditional watch strap on it. It's a couple of magnets.
Mm-hmm.
So you can just like put your hand on their wrist and slip the watch off without them even noticing. It's crazy how that's not become a proper crime problem.
Mm-hmm.
But
a Fitbit, and it just like pops out. It's not a very secure band. It just like pops out of the thing. And people lose them all the time because of that. So I imagine they'd be very, very easy to steal too.
Oh yeah. But yeah, the rising of like Fitbits and Apple Watches has made doing the watch steal a lot more pressing. I do that on stage quite a bit.
Mm-hmm.
Distract them by saying something in their hand is going to disappear. And then I tell them to watch while I show them their watch.
That is exactly what my friend did to me. Like hold your wrist, and then you have to hold something in your hand.
Yes.
Yeah.
it's the classic way of doing it. And it makes you feel special.
Yeah.
which is the only reason us magicians do anything, to make ourselves feel special.
Yeah. He did another good one at the bar, cause it was someone that I did community theater with. So we would go out after the shows, and he did like another one where he would make, I'm sure you know this one. It's like a very, very simple one, but it's like where you make paper disappear or something disappear, but it's just by throwing it over the person's head, and literally everyone else can see it except them.
I love paper balls over the head. It is fantastic.
Yeah.
My friend, another Canadian magician I know, he started doing it. Instead of making it disappear, you ask them to tear up a napkin, and then you sort of swap it out for, you ask them to tear up a napkin, roll it up into a ball. You take it off them and then give it them back, but switch it for one that isn't ripped as you throw the ripped one over their head. So instead of it disappearing, it re-sticks together in their hands, doing the same sort of over the head concept. And it kills every time. And
amazing.
Everybody loves it.
That's cool. I was about to say, because I thought there was a pause, but it turned out it was the call dropping. But I was about to change the subject. My dad listens to this podcast now. And in the first episode, when we were comparing, trading off podcast suggestions, there's one that I had tried to remember and forgotten, and then just shouted out halfway through without saying that it was another podcast. And it was My Dad Wrote a Porno. And so my dad listens to this podcast now, and just halfway through heard me shout, "Oh, my dad wrote a porno," and then not explain that. And he called me on the phone to be like, it took me a lot of time thinking, like, did I do that? So, yeah.
That is fantastic.
Yeah.
Nobody I know listens to this show. No, nobody likes me enough to do that.
Well, my dad has to. He's my dad.
True, true. But like, my mom doesn't listen. But then again, I'm not sure my mom knows what a podcast is.
Right. My dad listens, but like, he calls me and he's like, it was really good. Like, I didn't understand any of the stuff you were talking about, but like, great podcast. So, yeah.
Well, we're not like, we don't talk about that much confusing stuff, do we? Or do I just underestimate people?
I don't think it's confusing. I think that he does not play video games. He does not read comics. Like, it's just different for him.
That's true.
Yeah. I guess he's gonna hear all of this too. Hi, Dad.
Yeah, he's hello, Glenn's father. I could cut this all out, but I'm not going to.
No, I don't think that you need to. I knew it was up here when I was talking.
Oh yeah, that's sort of like the downfall of all, of this whole project. Mm-hmm. Like, it's getting increasingly harder to stick to the rules.
Yeah.
Like, the better I know you, obviously, the more I want to talk to you.
Exactly. And also the more that I want to talk about that I don't want to record.
Yeah, that's sort of, we might have to amend the rules a little.
Yeah, because I feel like we're now at like a place in whatever this is where, like, I don't know. I feel like because it's like about friendship is more than like friendship outgrew Skype calls that are recorded.
Yeah.
A little bit.
So what should the new rules be? We're 4 episodes in and already redefining the entire project. I love this. Mm-hmm. So what are the new rules?
I've been thinking about this and I don't really know. I feel like so full disclosure, we broke the rules yesterday because I was wanted to talk about something that was serious that I did not want to record.
Yes.
So we broke them very briefly so I could explain why I needed to reschedule. And I think stuff like that, like maybe stuff that is like, this is like obviously why I don't want this to be public, instead of just being like, you know, I saw a cat today and it was cute. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Yeah. But I don't know where to draw that line, but I think it's kind of a, you know it when you see it thing.
Yeah. It's yeah. I'm trying to make a comparison to something, but all I can think about is the legal definition of pornography. You know it when you see it.
Exactly.
I think is that the US official court, like the official court statement was porn, you'll know it when you see it, which should just be the tagline for porn in general.
Yeah.
But yeah, I feel like that's a good rule.
Okay.
Like, I'd say small talk is not allowed, but then again, small talk is not fun to listen to, so it's not going to be what we're recording anyway.
Yeah.
There will be some form of non-podcast contact. I apologize to all of the podcast purists out there.
But also, like, I promise listeners, it is nothing you want to hear anyway.
No,
we're not keeping it from you.
It's not going to be thrilling content. It's going to be the gross stuff that nobody wants to hear.
Okay, good. Because I was also worried about just how much small talk was going to end up on here and how that really isn't that interesting.
No.
And I think we've avoided it so far, but I was just wondering if we were going to get to a point where that was happening.
Yeah, like that's why I've sort of made a doc with just conversation topics in them, so that once we know everything about each other, there will always be something to talk about.
Mm-hmm.
Speaking of that doc, I'm going to find that now and drag up a topic. God, I open up a lot of crap on Google Docs.
I did read the doc this week. I forget. I didn't add anything, but I was looking at it because I was going through my Google stuff and I was like, what is this? And I was like, oh, not mine. I didn't make it. That's why I don't know what it is. Got it.
Like, I hate how Google Docs just has everything you've ever opened in Google Docs at the top of this list. Like, I don't need to have this random subreddit's rules saved into my...
Yeah.
I don't need that. Yeah. So here's a thing on the list that I thought would be interesting, but may not be at all. Like daily tech use.
Mm-hmm.
Cause I'm not sure if anyone else finds, well, some people must. You ever heard of a podcast called Cortex?
No, I don't think I have.
It's CGP Grey, the YouTube guy, and a guy called Mike Hurley, and it's sort of a productivity based podcast. But there's a whole lot of Apple shilling in it, which I dislike. And they sort of they talk about like how they use their tech, and technology is something that I quite like. So what's like, are you big into tech?
Yes, I actually, I get made fun of for this sometimes, not made fun of, but I feel like other people in the industry see it and don't trust it, which I understand why, but I read my script off of an iPad during shows, and normally people will use paper scripts, but I have this thing that I got from, I know a lot of pianists who do it this way, and I borrowed a friend of mine's pedal that so I can turn the pages of my script with my foot and then never stop mixing the show. I don't have to let go of the board to do that or like stop paying attention or even look at the thing because I'm just using my foot. And I find that incredibly helpful and a lot faster. And also because it's on the screen, color coding works a lot better and I don't need a light because I'm usually in the dark. Like it's like there are a lot of benefits to it and I don't know anyone else who does it. Because people don't trust the iPad, which I also totally get and always have a paper one with me as well.
Yeah.
But like, yes, I'm a big fan of using tech.
But that pedal foot, that pedal page turning thing, that's super useful. I would never have thought of that.
Mm-hmm. Well, I just thought of it because I saw piano players doing it and I was like, oh, like that would be perfect for my thing. So I'm actually using, I put my script into a Sheet Music app as well. And use that to scroll through with the pedal.
That is super cool, super useful. So like, what's your, are you all Apple or just the iPad?
I actually would rather go PC, but I can't because of my job. I have an Apple computer because I need QLab, which is like a, if you don't know, it's a sound playback software that is pretty much universally used for theater. And it's Mac only. So in order to do that, I have to have a Mac. So I don't really get a choice. Otherwise, I would probably have a PC.
So like, what about phones and stuff?
I have a Google phone and I love it.
A Google phone?
Yes. I love the Google products a lot, actually.
So like, are we talking like Nexus or Pixel?
A Pixel.
Ah, I am so jealous.
Yeah, it's great. I used to have a Nexus until it just died. And then I had a Sony Xperia and it was the absolute worst phone I've ever owned.
Yeah. So yeah. Sony's not fantastic.
Yeah.
I'm on a 6P at the minute, Nexus. I wish I could convince myself to upgrade to the Pixel, but I just cannot justify that right now.
Yeah. My old phone was like fully non-functioning. Otherwise I wouldn't have been able to justify it either.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I just got Google to ship me out a brand new 6P, actually. Turns out if the battery starts dying on the 6P and you just email them and say the words Reddit thread, they'll give you a new replacement for free.
Okay.
Because at one point, one Google employee said, we acknowledge this problem and should probably replace things for it.
Oh, yeah. Now they have to forever.
Yep.
Yeah. I had a Nexus, I think 5, and it was... a common problem, like mine died because the reboot kept restarting. It was just stuck in a reboot loop. And that's apparently an incredible, like that's the way most of them die, it turns out.
I've not heard about the reboot loop. This new Nexus for me will actually be my third because the first one during summertime, it got so hot that it just, everything in it like melted or something. I don't know. It just would not turn on anymore.
Yeah.
Which apparently that's a common problem for them as well. I think they've made them sturdier
now. Yeah. Yeah. Mine died when I was in Chicago doing a show for 2 months and it died in like the last week of Chicago. Ooh. And I was like, I need a phone. I don't have one at all. And like it died the day we were doing, no, it died later than that. It died the day that we were doing the strike, the loadout for the show. And I was like, I have all these, like all this paperwork and checklists and stuff on my dead phone that I like needed to make sure that I had been getting ready for like 2 months, and it was just gone. Ooh. I was like, well, I remember what goes in this box then. Okay, cool. Like, it was just all the info was suddenly disappeared.
See, my first Nexus died the week before I was flying out to Germany, and my plane ticket was on my phone. So I was in that same sort of panic. I need just any Android device that anyone has spare. Just let me have it for a week.
Mm-hmm.
That was devastating. Yeah, it's a shame that there are no good sort of PC equivalents for a lot of Mac softwares. Like, I was the only guy in my uni year that managed to complete the degree without buying a MacBook. Mm-hmm. Because everyone else was adamant that you had to edit video on a Mac, you had to edit audio on a Mac. And I'm like, you don't anymore? Because Adobe Premiere is on everything. Adobe Audition is on everything. Mm-hmm. But for some reason, Macs still have that stranglehold on the creative community.
Yeah. Yeah, I used to... I edit all my sound on Pro Tools, and that's... system agnostic.
Yeah because it used, like, I know as far as video is concerned, it used to be Final Cut, which was of course Mac only, but it hasn't been that way for at least 5 years,
right?
And it's also a shame that there's no good Android tablets. Like, there's no good Android version of an iPad.
Yeah, and that's the thing, is I don't want to get rid of my iPad that I use for scripts because I have a system and all the apps I use are Mac only. Yeah. And it works so well that I'm just sticking with it.
Yeah. Like, when you get into a system, it's so hard to try and upgrade in any way. Like, I had a system when I was an iPhone user. I had a system to make the phone work the way I wanted it, and that involved jailbreaking it and installing a whole bunch of custom stuff on it, but it worked exactly how I needed it to work. It was a terrible system, but it was mine and I liked it. So it was really hard to get out of that sort of funk and into good phones. But yeah, do you have any other random funky tech productivity tips? Because that foot pedal script thing, that's a stroke genius.
Yeah, I wish I could take credit for it, but I can't. Not really. Nothing really. I literally had a thing and I don't know what it is. I have a thing on an app on my phone that, like, I want to get a proper device, but now I have an app because it's free that, like, measures frequency and stuff. And, like, I'll give it to people to, like, walk a room and tell me what the sound levels are doing. But, like, that's it. But, like, day-to-day use, I don't usually... Like, I have my phone all the time for podcasts, and that's pretty much... My phone is pretty much a podcast machine if I'm not on tour. So, yeah.
See, like, my phone is everything. Like, if I was to leave my phone somewhere for a week, my life would cease. Because it's... Like, I pay for everything using Android Pay. I tune my instruments using it. I don't have a tuner. I just downloaded a tuner app. All of my notes are kept on Google Keep. I don't write anything physically because my handwriting is awful. Keep. Like, it's so useful. All of my sort of GM notes are in there, and all of my, like, my scripts, my magic show scripts are on there. So I can write them on my phone, and then, like, stand-up comedians, they'll write their set list on their hand, which looks terrible, but I can look at Google Keep on my watch, so I can have the script open on my watch. And then if I ever forget where I'm going, I just glance at the time to see, and it just looks like I'm checking if I've gone over my slot.
Yeah, that's perfect. I do a similar thing to that. If there's a problem backstage, I'll get, and someone needs me, but I can't necessarily get on comm because I need to listen, I'll tell whoever's backstage to text me. And I don't need to get my phone out, but it'll go to my Fitbit. So I can read the thing and it'll just say, you know, like, this is the problem, or not a big problem, but when you get a chance, like, I can just kind of, like, gauge the level of urgency and then get on, like, comm and actually talk to them when I can. But I love my Fitbit for that. Like, just like silently giving me a text to be like, all right, it's not that big a deal, or stop what you're doing now. Like, that's helpful.
So how does, like, as you're working on sound all the time, so I assume you have to be always listening to the show. When exactly do you get time to go onto comms and fix problems for people?
So, okay, you don't.
That was my fault.
There is a position. So I'm an A1, and there is an A2 who is backstage taking care of microphones and whatever and dealing with problems. And the last tour that I went on did not have an A2. We used a different person from each theater we went to, which was fine if literally nothing ever went wrong. Except that something always went wrong, because it's a long tour. And so they didn't know the show. And it's not their fault that they don't know the show, but no matter how good of a technician you are, if you don't know what's coming up next, it's still hard to know how to deal with a problem.
Yeah.
That was a choice that was made where maybe the song will sound worse so that I can get on comm and fix it instead of them hiring an assistant.
I feel like they should have hired the assistant instead.
I'm being very reserved in my feelings on this. That's just what happened.
Being democratic about it.
Yes.
When you first said what you did in episode one, you said you were an A1, and I just sort of nodded along. Mm-hmm. And I have no idea what that is.
A1 is the person mixing the board at the show, and A2 is backstage. And sometimes there's an A3, which is just like a secondary A2. But I do the film festival every year for the company that I work for. And I'm usually an A2 on the outdoor stage. And then for that one, there's an A3 because there's also a lot of band stuff. And I'm less good at like instrument setup. And the person who's the A3 was much better at that than I am. But so like I would go do like mics and stuff, and they would do band stuff.
So does the A just stand for like audio?
Yeah. Audio one, audio two. Yeah.
I thought that, but I wanted to make sure and didn't make some stupid mistake later down the line.
That's totally what it's called. I've never heard anybody say the full word.
Things in creative industries do that. They just evolve to have weird names.
Yeah.
Like on a film, before you do a film shoot, you go and do a recce to sort of scout the location to see if it's good enough for the shoot, see what the light levels are at different points of the day. And when I was learning about this, my lecturer just referred to it as a recce. And he never wrote this word down. None of us ever saw it written down. We were like, what is he saying? What word is this? Turns out recce is a military term shortened from reconnaissance mission.
Okay, that makes a lot of sense now.
Yeah, and it's just been adopted by the filmmaking industry. Like, had he told us this, one, it would have been an interesting little factoid, and two, we would have had the faintest idea what he was talking about.
Interesting. I like Sitzprobe. I feel like more people know what Sitzprobe is, but that's a good theater word.
A what?
A Sitzprobe.
Sitzprobe?
Yeah, it's the first time that like the singers and the band get together. Like, it's the first time they'll like do a whole sing through the show with all the musicians and all of the singers.
I've never heard that term before.
Mm-hmm.
It sounds vaguely phallic and vaguely German.
I think it is German. I'm fairly certain it's German.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm going to Google it now. Yes, German term used in opera and musical theater, used to describe a seated rehearsal. It's a rehearsal.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, I like those sort of weird inside terms that don't really mean anything when you think about them.
Yeah.
Again, back in films, the best boy. You see it in the credits for the films all the time. What is a best boy?
They like carry stuff, right?
From the sound of the title, it sounds really patronizing.
It does.
And it also sounds like it's a dog that was on set.
Yeah.
Like, I know what a gaffer is because my friend from my course, Connor, wanted to be a gaffer. Gaffers sort the lights and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
The best boy, again, I'm just Googling these things because I've never had to discuss them before, so I've never thought about Googling them.
I used to know when I was in grade 7, I don't know if you did this, but every year in elementary school, you have to do a speech and they have a big speech competition. So for my speech in grade seven, I did it on the people you don't know on film sets and like Best Boy and Gaffer and everything. But I've forgotten literally all of it. But
okay.
I learned all this on purpose once.
So yeah, you had to do a speech. So how old is grade seven?
Like 11?
Yeah, we never had to give, like, if I was 11 years old and had to give a speech, I would just, no, there's no way you're going to get me to do that. I was not confident enough to do that at age 11. There's nothing like that over here.
Well, we had to do them, all, like, I can't remember when it started. Seventh grade, called year eight in the UK. I just literally Googled how old is seventh grade, 12 to 13 years old.
So it's year eight. All right, cool. Yeah. I have that frame of reference. Yep, I was a quivering wreck in year eight. Not a good time.
I didn't like it. I was not good at the speaking, but we did it.
That was not a good time to be me. Year eight was not a good year for me. apparently, the best boy is in charge of setting up lights and sort of dolly tracks and stuff like that.
Right, okay.
And on the Wikipedia page, it notes that in the credits for Airplane, underneath the best boy was a worst boy, and the worst boy was Adolf Hitler.
I think I remember, I've seen this before. Like, I remember noticing that in the credits, actually.
I love that movie.
Oh, it's perfect.
Like, satire used to be such a fantastic movie genre. What happened?
I feel like satire means a different thing.
But like Airplane was a satire of... Well, it was a parody. Was it a parody or was it satire?
I'm bad at this distinction. I always mess it up.
But like... Or was it a spoof? I don't know. But like, those sorts of movies used to be really good, really cool. Back when it was Airplane, Naked Gun, things like that. But now the closest thing we get is the latest scary movie, and it's just referencing things that will be dated in 6 months, and I hate it so much.
Yeah, I think it just kind of shifted to like things like iZombie are kind of like parody now, even though it's...
I've not seen any of iZombie.
I saw the first two episodes this week, and I intend to watch a lot more of it. And it's not parody, like... Parody is the wrong word for what it is, but like I think making fun of satire. Yeah. Yeah, I think you're right. But like still, it's like, I think it's not funny. I mean, no, it is, but that's not why it's funny.
It's sort of, it comes from a position of love, because it loves this, like the makers of that show love the zombie genre.
Yeah.
But they want to point out all of the problems with it.
Mm-hmm.
Same reason Kung Fu Panda is such a good movie.
I haven't seen Kung Fu Panda.
You can tell from watching it that they love Kung Fu movies, but they are very aware that most Kung Fu movies are awful. So they sort of half point out all the problems of Kung Fu movies during Kung Fu Panda, and yet still make it an enjoyable kids movie.
Cool. I'll have to watch that.
Like the sequels, they're just terrible cash-in sequels, but Kung Fu Panda is a good movie.
Oh, for sure. All sequels are terrible.
It doesn't get the credit it deserves. Like some sequels are decent. Most sequels are awful.
Yeah, I take it back immediately, but like most of them.
I can think of Terminator 2 and Toy Story.
Mm-hmm.
Those are the only good sequels.
I've never seen any of the Terminator movies.
Neither have I, but I just have it on good authority that Terminator 2 is better than Terminator 1.
Okay.
It's not my kind of movie, to be honest, because it's very, very 80s, and I am very not 80s.
Yeah, I feel like it would be my kind of movie. I just haven't watched it, and I don't usually watch movies.
Yeah. Me neither, to be honest. Like, for saying I have a degree in media production, I've not seen anything.
I've seen a lot of TV, but not a lot of movies. I used to be into movies, and then I just switched to TV and never looked back.
I switched to podcasts, and again, never looked back.
Yeah.
I can get so much more done while enjoying podcasts.
Exactly. Speaking of TV, do you want my recommendation for this week?
Yes.
I'm sorry that it's going to be another TV show, but like you just have to watch one episode and it's on Netflix. And I watched the entirety, all four seasons of Please Like Me between the
Please Like Me.
Yeah.
I don't think that's on our Netflix. I'll have a search for it because I might be wrong, but,
if it's not, that's fine. But, it's an Australian show by this dude who like is playing. I just typed in Josh into the search bar instead of Please Like Me. his name is Josh Thomas. And, he's sort of basically his mom has kind of like a breakdown and, he moves back in with her to take care of her. And at the same time, his girlfriend breaks up with him cause he's gay. And then he realizes that, yeah, he is gay. Okay. That all happens in the first episode, but it's like, it's a lot of like mental illness stuff, but it's kind of about like, yes, all these people have mental illness, but that's not who they are. And it's kind of about the moments between, you know?
All right. That's cool.
But it's funny and serious, and like they don't ever treat serious subjects like they should be funny. They'll have like funny scenes and then very serious scenes, and they don't mix it. And I really like that.
That's cool. I like a show that can do that. Scrubs did that brilliantly.
Yeah.
And no show has really ever done it as good since.
I haven't seen Scrubs. I've seen the first episode, and that's it.
I would have that as my recommendation, but. I feel like recommending Scrubs is like old hat right now.
Right.
I'm also going to recommend a TV show then that should be on Netflix.
Okay.
I mentioned it last week, or last episode, Peep Show.
Okay.
Have you heard of it?
I don't think so. I'm trying to remember what you said about it last week, but I can't remember.
I think all I said about it last week is that it was amazing. It's a sitcom about two roommates that, like, they're very sort of traditional odd couple. One is a uptight business guy and the other is a slacker in a failing band. But, like, the sort of USP of it is every single shot is a POV shot.
Oh, cool.
Yeah. So the entire show is filmed in point of view. It's hilarious. And if you like cringe comedy, then there's a lot of that. But yeah, I really enjoy it. So if you can find that legally anywhere, I highly recommend it.
It's not on Netflix, but I'll see if I can rent it from like PlayStation or something. Because usually stuff's on there.
That's cool. And like, I think it might be on
really
iTunes.
Interesting.
Oh, it is.
Oh, cool. Yeah.
It's quite old. It's quite old, but still not like 4x3 old.
Right.
But if you look at like their phones in the first couple of seasons. Ugh,
oh, I love
reminds
that.
Reminds me of dark times.
I also just like, started, this isn't a recommendation because I'm halfway through the second episode, but I also just started Friends from College.
Again,
it's like
I've
a Netflix original series. It's new.
Okay.
That's good. I'll report back though.
Do you watch any, are you as into like YouTube personalities as I like? I will watch certain YouTubers as religiously as people watch TV shows.
Mm-hmm. I used to be really into the Holy Trinity.
The Holy Trinity?
Yeah. Mamrie Hart, Grace Helbig, and Hannah Hart.
Ah.
Do you know them?
I know of them.
Yeah, them. I saw them like live once. I used to be a huge fan of them and I still am. But I just don't, like, I found podcasts instead is kind of what happened. So I'll watch the videos where they're like all together, but don't necessarily watch them religiously anymore. But Polygon, everything Polygon.
Oh yeah, I love me some Polygon. Mm-hmm. Although my whole house loves Polygon, but I went out there was a group of us around the last night and I went out to get some beer. I came back and they were watching Touch the Skyrim, and that's the first time I'd watched anything with Nick in it, and that was weird.
Yeah, I can't.
I wasn't
like,
I wasn't
Carboys
sure
was like a comfort
that.
Blanket for me on tour. Like, I don't, I know I'm gonna want to watch it again when I'm back out because I just love it so much.
Yeah. I never got into Carboys, which I'm now thankful for, because apparently Carboys was quite a big deal.
It was like my favorite thing while it was happening. Yeah.
I've heard that quite a lot from people, so I'm kind of glad I didn't get into it.
Yeah, like, I want to recommend it to you, but also, like, I don't. I'm not going to, but, like,
yeah.
Ugh. I'm probably, because I feel like, because it's Polygon, like, I feel like watching it will be continuing to support Polygon and not necessarily him.
Because he's not on payroll anymore.
Yeah.
You're not supporting him.
Yeah. It's still going to feel weird, though. I don't know if I'm going to enjoy it, but I think I'm going to let myself watch it if I want to.
Like, I super enjoyed Touch the Skyrim when it came out, but watching it last night was a little bit, felt a bit uneasy.
Yeah, I haven't, like, I love Touch the Skyrim too, but I haven't rewatched any of it, any of that.
I stayed subscribed to Cool Games Inc. for, like, about a week and a half, hoping that they would, like, find a new co-host for it. But I just sort of unsubscribed, like, today, I think.
Yeah, I saw someone, I saw a comment somewhere saying that Pat should do it, and I think that would be great, but I think it would also just be very weird.
My first instinct was to say Justin could do it, but then it, like, because they obviously have such good natural chemistry, but it would then just evolve into another McElroy Brothers product, not a Polygon product.
I feel like Simone would be actually really good. I love Simone. I love all of them, like, quite a bit, but Simone is awesome, and I feel like she would be good at Cool Games Inc. She's good at running with it, I think.
I don't know a lot. Like, I haven't watched enough of it to know the others, sort of just by name. By voice, I could probably get them, but...
She was the one doing the blindfolded games with Russ?
Yes. Yeah. Yes.
So the girl who was blindfolded, that's Simone.
She'd be great. Or if they wanted two other, if they wanted to just, like, start afresh, get two other hosts, was it Pat and Simone? Were they the two that they do the really long videos where they watch everything
and watch things over and over again?
Pat and Allegra. They'd be great at it because they obviously do the weirder stuff like that where they watch things over and over again.
Yeah.
That would be fantastic.
Oh, I love Polygon.
They should just have Griffin and anyone who's in the Polygon office at the time.
You know what? That would actually just be great if it was just rotating.
Yeah, rotating host. It's great.
Are you listening to the Polygon show?
I am not at the minute.
It's a new-ish podcast. I think there's like 4 or 5 episodes, and it's a bunch of people who work on Polygon. It's like... Ashley, Chelsea, Simone, and Allegra. And it's produced by Pat. So he's like filled in once already. But it's really good. And it's just them talking about the games that they're playing.
That's cool. I dig that. I don't listen to enough game podcasts for saying how much I do about like how much I play video games and stuff. I get most of my video game stuff via YouTube.
Right.
Do you know the Super Beard Brothers?
No, I don't.
Do you know The Completionist?
I've heard of that, but I don't actually know.
The Completionist is one of the... Like, I love The Completionist so much. And Super Beard Bros is his Let's Play channel with Alex from The Dex, if you know The Dex.
It's another thing I've heard of, but don't actually know.
I hoped, like, since you were into Pokemon, you would know The Dex. But it's just, like, the most, like, wholesome Let's Play channel I've ever seen. They're just, like, so enthused about everything. And they're just sort of spurring each other on the whole time. It's so great. It's just, whenever I'm feeling down, I'll just watch them play games.
I've been doing that with Games Done Quick.
It's like speedrunning games is not something I've really been into. Like watching speedruns. I don't know why, but I should watch some of the Games Done Quick stuff.
I've never been into it before, but all the Games Done Quick, like there's one person playing and then there's like 4 people commenting, which I think is cool. And the only ones I watch are ones that are like games from my childhood and just like, I'll get nostalgic for it, want to replay it, but know that I don't actually want to replay it. But oh, look, I can watch someone do the entire thing in an hour while I'm getting dinner ready. Perfect.
Yeah.
Like that's kind of how I watch it.
I like watching really like obscure, abstract playthroughs of games. Like I saw somebody completing Portal without moving the mouse.
What?
Yeah.
That's like, cool.
That was phenomenal. And like somebody, like people finishing levels in Mario 64 without pressing A once.
That's interesting.
Yeah, like those sorts of really weird, weird restrictions people put on themselves. I love watching those.
Yeah, I mostly use it to get out the like, I want to buy this game, but I know I don't actually want to buy this game. I just kind of want to experience it. And so like, here's an hour of it.
Yeah.
And it's most of the game.
I get that.
Yeah.
I recently, I had a hankering to play through Pokemon Emerald again. So I totally legally acquired it on my Android device. And I got like half an hour in. I'm like, I don't think I actually want to play this game. I just wanted to see it again.
Yeah, exactly. I do that all the time.
Because like Pokemon Emerald was my childhood. It was the first proper Pokemon game I owned.
Nice.
So I just wanted to see it again.
Mine was Yellow, and I'm cleaning out my closet right now, and I found my copy of Pokemon Yellow, and I was like, I can't get rid of this. And my friend was there specifically for this moment to be like, you don't need it. You can get rid of Pokemon. I think you can buy it on Virtual Console. Like, you don't need to keep your Game Boy Color copy of it. And I was like, but what if... She's like, no, you don't. And she's right. I don't need to keep that, like, cartridge, but...
But I mean, like... A Game Boy cartridge doesn't take up that much space.
I
think you can afford to keep a Game Boy cartridge.
I'm like a collector, though. Like, I've got a lot of stuff, and it's all very neatly organized, but there's still a lot of stuff, and like, I don't need to keep, because it's not just one game cartridge, right? It'll be like, well, then I'll keep all of them, and yeah.
I played Pokemon Yellow, I played Pokemon Silver, but they were my sister's, because she was just a little bit older than me. But my friend Evie, he is like that, but with everything. Like, he won't throw away his old laptops because they were gifts, and he wouldn't want, like, and he gets it in his head that his mum wouldn't want him to throw away a gift. But this laptop is 5 years old and falling to pieces.
Yeah, I totally get like that, but there's a time limit on how long I'll do it for. But yeah,
I am very much the opposite. If I don't have a use for an item, it's getting binned.
No, I keep everything. Someone will like, someone will like pick up a rock and be like, I found this rock for you. It was a joke. And I'll be like, thank you. And I'll keep it for the next 2 years. And then I'll eventually get rid of it.
Like a rock.
That's just an example. But like, if that happened, that would be how it turned out. Yes.
I'm not tempted to mail you a rock.
If you mailed me a rock, I'd keep it. Like, that's, yeah.
No, okay, I need to mail you a nice British rock now.
Great, perfect. I have moon rocks that I've had since I was a kid that
moon
I got
rocks.
Mail order magic school bus moon rocks.
I remember getting some of those, and I'm like, now like cynical adult me looks back and goes, were they really moon rocks? Were they really from the moon? Because
right?
Anyone can print a certificate saying this is from the moon.
Yeah, but like Miss Frizzle wouldn't lie to you.
Miss Frizzle is a cut is drawing.
I know.
I think Magic School Bus is a little bit before my time. Just like a couple of years before my time.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't have that same attachment to Miss Frizzle as everyone else. That or I was just an ignorant child. Because when was Magic School Bus? Oh,
that's
it started in 1994.
94? Okay. I was two.
I
feel like I was kind of too young for that when it started.
Well, it ran from 94 to 97. And
okay.
When it came out, I was a few months old. So...
Right.
Like I said, just a couple of years before my time.
I just realized I had just assumed you were the same age.
Yeah,
I don't know why
I assumed you were my age, but I did.
Yeah.
Yeah, we should have established that in episode one.
Yeah. I'm 24, but my birthday's in a week.
Oh, cool. I am 23. I had to think about that for a second. I shouldn't have to think about that. 23 and my birthday's at the end of March.
Okay.
If I don't see you before, happy birthday.
Thank you.
Are you planning anything for it?
I think I'm just going to have people over at my apartment. I usually go out, but I usually I'm usually working on a show, and then there's just kind of a built-in, like, all right, we're going to go down the street and drink after because it's my birthday. but I'm not on a show this year, so I think I'm going to have people just to my apartment. Everybody wants to meet the cat, and not everybody's had a chance to yet, so yeah.
Cool. Yeah, I just assume everyone is my age whenever I meet them. I recently had the realization that one of my close friends, Luke, is 19. He's just a small baby.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm like, no, you're an adult like the rest of us. Stop lying to me.
When we were in Chicago, there was someone in our cast, and I toured with her as well. It was the same show that toured, but we did a sit down first in Chicago. And when we were there, she couldn't drink because she was 18. Sorry, no, she's not 18. That would be in Canada. She could drink in Canada, so she's 20, but she couldn't drink in the States. I just remember being like, wow, like it's been a while since I've not been able to drink because of my age, and just kind of realized when that happened.
Oh yeah. I mean, I have never had a problem purchasing alcohol. Like, I think the only time I've ever been ID'd for alcohol was actually on my 18th birthday. And I think that was because somebody told the bartender.
So it's 18 over there?
Yeah, it's 18 over here.
Okay.
When I was watching Terrace House, actually, when they were talking about can they drink, I was like, but they're all like 20 somethings. What is the legal age in Japan? Like, the legal age in Japan is like 20, I think.
Okay. Well, I know, yeah. In the next season too, there's a lot of like, when new people come to the house, they're like, can you drink? Because no one can drink with me, like, because it's 21 down there. Yeah.
So is it 18 in Canada?
It's 19.
19.
Yeah.
I've never heard about somewhere where it's 19.
Yeah, it's 18. It depends where in Canada you are. It's 18 in other provinces, but not in Ontario.
Ah.
Mm-hmm.
I remember when I went to Florida, it was a few months after I turned 18. So I'd gotten used to being able to like go out drinking and then flying to a place where I was yet again just a child.
Mm-hmm.
That was not fun. Not fun at all.
My sister tricked me once, and she didn't let me go through with it, but we went to New York to see a bunch of stuff, but we saw Once on Broadway, and the Once stage is like a functioning bar that you can get a drink from at intermission.
That's
and
cool.
Yeah, it was really neat. It's really beautiful. And I was either 19 or 20, but like I had been used to being able to drink at home. And then my sister was just like, why don't you go down and get a drink? Like, it wouldn't be really cool because we're here. And I was like, yeah, I should do that. She's like, yeah, go order a drink from the bar. And I was like, yeah. And so I get up and started walking. She was like, sit down. You can't go to the bar. Like, I really tricked you. I didn't expect you to go. But like, yeah, no, you can't go down. I was like, oh, yeah, you're right.
That's mean.
Yeah. I mean, you could still go on stage and look, but like you couldn't order a drink, obviously.
I still get
carded all the time.
Like, oh yeah, my partner, he gets carded like every single time.
Yeah.
But it's, I think like 21 is a ridiculous age for drinking. Mm-hmm. Especially when you can drive at like 16 in a lot of places in America.
Mm-hmm. I feel like the argument that I hear all the time makes so much sense to me, which is like you could join the army.
Yeah.
But not drink yet. Like that feels backwards.
It's crazy.
Yeah.
I mean, like here, I think here the age for joining the army is 16, but drinking is 18. So you can still join the army before you can drink, but you can drink when you're 18, which sounds like a sensible age to me. If you're able to vote, you should be able to drink.
Yes. If you can't handle one, you shouldn't handle the other.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And in this political climate, you need to be able to drink after voting to drown your sorrows.
Yes.
And on that note, I feel we should call it. We've been going for like an hour 10.
Yeah, every time we do this, it's a little bit longer.
Yes.
Yeah.
So, recap recommendations. I am going to watch Please Like Me. You are going to watch Peep Show. And I am going to continue watching Terrace House and tell you exactly how heartbreaking it is when my favorite character has to leave.
Yeah. And we are maybe going to talk sometimes if it's important.
Yes.
Great.
So I shall see you when you are a little bit older.
Yeah. Yes. All right. Bye. Thanks for listening. Bye.